Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight, we have a horrifying story of two individuals who go off on a two-day hiking adventure, but encounter something that they probably shouldn't have. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss tonight's episode. If you like true and creepypasta scary stories, make sure to subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up. Now, let's get spooky. Who the hell are you? Reggie looked at the unknown stranger who had entered our camp, unsure of what to make of him. The stranger had been there since we had woken up, but had never said a word. I was kicking myself for not bringing along a gun, but it was only meant to be a two-day hike in the canyon. There weren't any such stories of dangerous animals attacking on such a well-known trail, so we just figured that it would be fine. I'll ask again. Who are you? Reggie shouted, this time with more confidence. The stranger looked at Reggie and smiled, completely undeterred by Reggie's sudden show of masculinity. The stranger's appearance wasn't what was so frightening. It was the fact that he was so completely out of place. The stranger was dressed in a full suit that didn't seem to fit his frame. He was tall and lanky, but the suit seemed about two sizes too small. In comparison, Reggie, Clayton, and I were all dressed in hiking shorts and t-shirts. The temperature was well over 90 degrees, even down in the canyon. This man should have been sweating, but I didn't see a single drop of sweat.
I was just in the area, and I thought you boys might need some help.
The stranger said, lips moving a little too much as he said each word.
I'm from the area, and a lot of kids end up lost hiking these trails.
I saw your tent, and figured you all must have gotten exhausted from the trek down the canyon.
We're actually fine, thank you. Clayton jumped in. We've hiked this trail before, and we're actually meeting our friends just about a mile up the trail. They'll be expecting us.
Clayton was smart. He always had a cool head and knew exactly what to say and how to react. We appreciate the concern, but we've got to get going now. We slept in too late and we were already behind schedule. As he said this, he started to pack up his things, being careful not to turn his back to the stranger. Reggie followed suit and so did I. The stranger made no effort to move, and in fact looked even more pleased with our obvious unease.
You know, the stranger said, moving ever so slightly closer to the three of us. You boys don't realize how fucked you are.
With that, the stranger stood up and showed his height, far taller than I had even expected, and walked off down the canyon. Reggie wanted to attack him, I was sure of it, but he was paralyzed. Reggie is someone who never backed down, and certainly not someone who's scared off easily.
What the hell was that about? Reggie whispered.
Whatever it was, I think we need to get going now. I was not about to wait around and wait for this freak to come back. After about an hour of hiking, we needed to take a break. The heat was taking a toll on us, and we had completely forgotten about the stranger. We found a nice spot to set down our packs and relax for a moment, and now was a good time as ever to apply some sunscreen.
What do you guys think about that dude? Said Reggie.
It felt like he was taunting us or something. He was being such a dick. He took this opportunity to flex the only part of his body that he actually worked on, his biceps.
I would have messed him up and he knew it. That's why he dipped so fast.
If Reggie wasn't already my friend for years, he would have been insufferable.
Clayton and I just both rolled our eyes, a normal reaction to Reggie's antics. I think that he was probably crazy. There's a lot of stories of locals out here smoking meth, and we really aren't that far from the normal trail. Clayton said, as usual, being the most level-headed out of all of us. I mean, think about it. You're in the wasteland of the state. You have nothing to do in this hellscape of a town. What else are you going to do to entertain yourself? That's what people here do. And when you smoke enough meth, you just lose it. Whether or not it was even true, it eased our minds enough for us to pretty much forget about the whole thing. If anything, it was just another crazy story we would have between the three of us. We experienced plenty of weird shit in our years as friends, and this was just another story to tell at the next house party. Reggie would exaggerate it. Clayton would explain in detail what actually happened. And I would listen quietly, laughing on with everyone else as my friends entertained everyone for the night. After about another hour of hiking, we started to realize something. According to the trail's map, we should be right at the mouth of the canyon. It was difficult to tell, but it seemed like we were still in the same area that we were hours before. On top of that, we woke up around 8 a.m., and the sun would have been well over our head by now. However, the sun seemed to be on a standstill. It looked like it had not moved at all since we had woken up this morning. Because Reggie started to look perplexed too. At least, more perplexed than usual. "What time is it?" he asked no one, his voice slightly wavering. Clay checked his watch. "It's 3 p.m. Why?" "We woke up at like 8 or 9. We've only been walking for like 2 or 3 hours at most. The sun hasn't frickin' moved." Reggie liked to play the part of the tough guy, but it was unsurprising that he would be the one freaking out the most. We both waited for Clay to say something logical and obvious that would calm us down. "Well, maybe we're all really tired. We probably woke up earlier than we thought, right? I mean, we all got pretty messed up last night after we set up camp. Nobody actually checked their time when this freak showed up, remember? We probably woke up earlier, and it just feels like we've been walking for so long because it's so damn hot. Being hungover isn't helping, right?" Thank God, Clay could be the voice for reason. Because I could tell Reggie was just as unsettled as I was. It didn't explain why the sun didn't look like it had moved, but we all just chalked it up to us just being hungover. Still, there was the slightest waver to Clay's voice. I usually tend to over-examine everything, and Reggie didn't mention it, so I figured I was just being paranoid.
"Okay, what the hell is going on here?"
I lost it.
"Something isn't frickin' right, and you guys know it. The frickin' sun is still in the same damn spot, and we've been walking for frickin' hours. We should have been out of this godforsaken canyon hours ago."
Clay and Reggie were completely shocked by my outburst. The last time I yelled like that was when I met them. I was in the boys' room about to have my face dunked into the toilet, a sick prank older boys learned from the movies where the nerd got the swirly. Clay and Reggie came at the right time. While Clay distracted them from completing their makeshift water torture, Reggie swooped in and beat the crap out of them. From that day on, we were all best friends.
"Chill, Marcus," Reggie said, putting his hands up like I was going to suddenly attack him.
"We're just hungover. You didn't drink a lot. It's fine."
"No, it's not frickin' fine. The sun has been in the same frickin' spot for hours. That is not normal."
"He's right," Clayton jumped in. "I'm trying to think about this logically, but the sun really hasn't moved, and I'm kind of starting to get freaked out."
"Dude, relax."
Reggie, the guy who normally would have been the one to lose his crap first, was suddenly telling us to calm down.
"We are hungover.
You guys are acting like there's some frickin' conspiracy with the sun or some crap." He laughed.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And dragged his fingers through his forever gelled perfect black hair. Clay looked at me, and in that moment, I got chills throughout my body. I saw the stranger. Nowhere close to us, but far into the canyon where we originally had seen him. He stood facing us, making a strange motion with his hands like he was playing a violin. What the hell? Clay and Reggie jumped at my exclamation. Turn the hell around and you'll see that creepy guy from the camp. Marcus, there's nothing there. Chill, Reggie said, not at all concerned with the prospect that this man was following us, watching us. You know what, Reggie? It's the heat. He's losing it because of the heat. Clay put his hand over my forehead, as if he was some medical professor who could determine heat stroke, even though we had all been in the same environment. Why don't we all take a quick break and you could get some rest? Clay actually looked worried about me. Reggie didn't seem to care either way. I don't need the rest. I'm telling you, that guy is over there across the canyon. Something feels wrong, and I don't know what it is, but I think we need to call for help or something. You're being dramatic. Reggie looked pissed. Our phones don't even work. We're too deep into the canyon. Let's just take a break and you could sleep it off or whatever. We gotta be close to the end by now anyways. I know I did not hallucinate it, but I was tired, especially if the sun wasn't going anywhere. When I woke up, it was pitch black. I was freezing, and I couldn't see a thing. Reg, Clay, where the hell did you guys go? I got cut short by an incredible searing pain in my right bicep. What the hell? I had never felt pain like this in my entire life. The lack of sight added to the disorientation I felt from the already blinding pain. I reached into my pocket and grabbed my lighter, hoping to gain a little insight on what the current situation was that I had woken up to. My arm was completely wedged between the canyon and an unfortunately placed rock. I wasn't sure if I rolled over in my sleep or what. We didn't set up a tent, and we were just taking a break earlier. I looked around for Reggie and Clayton, but with only the flame of the lighter, it was nearly impossible to see a few feet ahead of me. Help! Help me! It was useless. No one could hear me. No one was coming. I was alone in this canyon, and I wasn't sure if my friends would be there to save me this time. It wasn't long before I slipped into unconsciousness again.
Wake up, Marcus. Wake the hell up, dude.
Reggie was shaking me awake.
Clay isn't here. Did you see him leave?
I looked down to see both my arms, attached and not stuck between any rocks. My relief was cut short when I realized what was happening. What happened? I wasn't asleep for long. The sun was still in the same damn place.
That creep showed up again. He frickin' came back while you were sleeping. And he started saying all this cryptic crap to us. He's so frickin' sketchy, Marcus. He said some crap to Clay, and he walked away, and Clay went after him. I tried to chase him down, and I don't know where he went, man. I'm freaking out.
I had never seen Reggie so shaken up in all my years as his friend. While thick-headed, he was always brave. And if he got shooken up, he reacted with bravery, not fear. It was at this point that Reggie started crying.
I didn't stop him, man. That piece of crap was real thin and I could have kicked his ass. I should have done it the first time that he had shown up, man. Why didn't I frickin' take him down when I had the chance?
Reggie was sobbing. I had never seen anyone, let alone Reggie, cry so hard.
I understood him, though. Whatever it was about this man was terrifying. It shook us all up to the core. As selfish as it was, I'm just glad I was asleep when he had showed up again. Okay, Reg, calm down for a second. Where exactly did the man go? Reggie pointed towards some bushes that seemed leading off to the cliff. I walked over and realized there was a very thin rock path towards the bottom of the canyon. They went down there? Let's go! We started down the trail with Reggie rushing ahead. I followed cautiously, but almost intimidatingly. I felt a burning pain in my bicep. It felt almost like the dream that I had earlier. But before I could think too much about it, I heard Reggie cry out.
Shoot! Man, you gotta help me!
Reggie had slipped on a loose rock and fell a few feet down the trail. He wasn't far ahead, but he had fallen into some bushes. I climbed down, and right away I could tell that Reggie was screwed. His body was rigid, in completely contrast to his normal limp leg that had bent the knee in the opposite direction it should have been. His skin was ripped to the bone, to the point where I could see his kneecap between the muscle. I couldn't help but vomit. I had never seen something so grisly. His hands were gripping his upper thigh, trying to somehow control the blood from pouring out of the artery poking out of his leg. His kneecap was shattered, pieces of it laid all around him in the dirt path. His calf was almost completely amputated from the thigh and twisted completely around, with his foot pointing towards his back. His eyes were closed tight.
How bad is it, man? Tell me the truth. It hurts like a bitch, dude. Is it broken?
I didn't even know what to tell him. I didn't want to send him in the shock, and I definitely didn't want him to see the damage. The adrenaline must have been pumping hard for him to still be conscious at this point. He let go of his leg for just a second, and the blood started squirting out audibly from the artery sticking out from above his kneecap. Reggie, keep pressure right there where your hand is. Give me a second. You're gonna be okay. I grabbed my pocket knife and sliced off a piece of the bottom of his shorts and quickly wrapped a tourniquet in the middle of his thigh as tight as I could.
Ah, dude, that freaking hurts. What are you doing?
It was at this point that Reggie made the mistake of looking at the grisly scene of his leg and what it had become. Before he could even scream, his eyes rolled back and he passed out. Thankfully, I had gotten his leg to stop bleeding, but before I could even try to do anything more to help him, I heard a blood-curdling scream from deep into the canyon. It was Clay. There wasn't much that I could do for Reggie without a phone and without any medical supplies. We were so unprepared for this hike. We thought it was just going to be a simple camping trip. I couldn't do anything but leave him with my canteen and put a shirt behind his head and hope that he would stay asleep until I got back. For good measure, I left the rest of our whiskey supply by his side, just in case he woke up. I followed the scream I heard from Clay deeper into the canyon. This is far deeper than we had gone before, and I had no idea where I was. The sun was still in the same place, and I was starting to wonder if this was a dream too.
Reggie, Marcus, please, dear God, help me.
If this was a dream, I didn't care. Clay needed help, and for once, I was going to be the one who was going to be the hero.
I'm coming, Clay. Hold tight, man. I'm almost there. Be careful. It's really dark, man.
I wasn't sure what Clay was talking about. It was sunny, and I could see everything clearly, even in this deep in the canyon. The sun was directly above us, and it lit the entire trail. Just as I started to ponder that, my biceps started to burn again. I rolled up my sleeve to see if something had bit me or something, but my arm was completely fine. The pain was almost unbearable, but there was nothing there.
Clay, the sun is out. It's not dark out here. Is it dark where you are? Did you slip somewhere and fall in a cave or something?
I yelled out. No response. Clay! Nothing. I kept walking. At this point, there wasn't an incline anymore. The sun was still blaring down, but luckily, I was deep enough in that area that I was in and it was completely shaded. I had reached the bottom of the canyon. Clay! Still, no response. I had no idea which way to turn. The canyon had an echoing effect that made it impossible to tell where Clay had called from earlier. The ground down here was cool, a nice change from the burning heat above. The rocks had been eroded throughout the walls of the canyon were smooth as I dragged my hand along them. I thought back to science class in high school. We learned about caves and stalagmites, and how the canyons came throughout the erosion. I remember thinking how powerful water was, to be able to carve through rock and create something as beautiful and deep as the Grand Canyon. It was no wonder why it attracted so many people year after year. Marcus! I heard where the voice had came from. I turned towards the sound, right around the next pass. Just as I rounded the corner, I slipped. The pain. It was so impossible to ignore this time. My arm was burning, but I couldn't feel my hand at all. I looked down to see the same horrifying sight I had seen in my dream. My arm was completely collapsed at the bicep, stuck between the canyon wall and the enormous boulder. Clayton! Clayton, where are you? No response again. It was bright out at least, but I almost wish it was dark so I couldn't see my arm. It wasn't as gory as Reggie's leg, but the sight of my arm being completely compressed between the rocks was horrifying. The veins in my biceps were turning a bright purple, and the muscle itself looked like it was being sunburned. From the slight amount of medical knowledge I had from biology and TV, I knew that even if I was able to dislodge my arm, I risked compartment syndrome. Compartment syndrome is usually caused by a traumatic crashing injury, like a limb being crushed between two rocks. I knew that if I was able to get my arm out, that I could die from not having medical attention. I was screwed. Clayton! Anyone! Please! I couldn't help it. I started crying. The hopelessness set in. I was at the bottom of this frickin' canyon. No one knew where we were. One friend was missing and the other was completely immobile. Maybe even dead by now. I had no idea how much time had passed since Reggie had broken his leg, since the sun was in the same frickin' spot. I looked around desperately for anything that could possibly help me. There was nothing, not even the whiskey, because I had left that with Reggie. As I was frantically scanning the canyon floor, I noticed someone. Clayton? Clayton, man, you have to help me. Call 911. The figure started to move closer towards me, seemingly gliding along the canyon floor. His legs were moving at a slow pace, but he was moving towards me at an impossible speed. My heart sunk. It was the stranger.
I told you, you boys would need help.
I couldn't speak. I had never been so terrified in my life. The stranger, who was already incredibly horrifying before, was physically distorted in the most subtle ways. If you've ever heard of the Uncanny Valley, he resembled something of the deepest part of it. Now that I had the opportunity to see him in the light and standing tall, I could finally take in the terror of his true appearance. The stranger stood at least 6'8" and incredibly thin. He couldn't have weighed more than 150 pounds soaking wet. His suit stuck to his bones like static cling, but still seemed to be far too baggy for his frame. His skin was pale but not white, but far too pale for someone who would live in the desert. His blonde hair was perfectly styled in a swooped back 50s cut, but still looked matted and dirty. His eyes were light blue. And if you had come across this man in any other normal situation, You might even find him attractive, if it wasn't for his slim frame. The thing that was so incredibly unsettling about him was his smile. No one should be smiling anyways seeing someone in this condition, but regardless, his mouth was upturned in the most disgusting smile you could even imagine, one of pure malice and hatred. His teeth were perfectly straight, white as snow, but wrong. It looked as if he had too many teeth crammed into his mouth. Like if a child were to draw a person smiling, but they didn't fully understand what a human mouth even looked like.
"Did you want to leave?"
he asked, his head tilting ever so slightly.
"Would you like me to help you?"
I couldn't say anything. I couldn't even shake my head no.
"Well, if you don't want my help, I won't force it. Your friends wouldn't take my advice either. I hope that you're not as foolish."
He backed away, walking slowly but disappearing into the distance far too quickly for how he was moving. As he was walking, he did the same motion, almost as if he was playing the violin. The farther away that he got, the more I pieced it together. I realized the advice that he was giving me. I had nothing with me but a shitty knife that I had bought at the flea market. It was serrated on the back, but could barely qualify as an actual hunting knife. I figured I would only need to cut the rope or something. We were so freaking unprepared for this hike. I searched around my pocket with my free left hand to find my cigarettes. If this didn't work out and I died from this, I certainly was going to have a cigarette in my final moments. I put one of my last Camels into my mouth, and just as I lit the lighter, everything went dark. I didn't pass out. It was nighttime. I looked around, bewildered. It was the same as my frickin' dream. The rock, the lighter, the searing pain in my arm. Everything was the same. A shaking hand brought the cigarette up to my lips as I took a drag. This wasn't right. Nothing made sense. The pain took me away from my thoughts. I needed to do this now before I passed out, because I would surely die out here if I didn't do something right now. I pulled my crappy knife from its sheath, suddenly thankful to get dragged to that flea market years ago. With the cigarette hanging between my gritted teeth, I cut the bottom of my shirt to fashion a tourniquet. I doubt I tied it tight enough, being able to only use a non-dominant hand, but it was better than nothing. I finished my cigarette, took a deep, labored breath, and started cutting. At first, the pain was blinding, literally. I couldn't even see as I started to saw through my own flesh. After about 30 seconds of this, my brain gave me a bit of solace and started to cancel out the pain that I was feeling. I was forced, more forced than I had ever been. I remember reading something years ago that a human has enough bite force to bite off their finger, and it would only be as difficult as biting a carrot. But your brain prevents you from doing it. I guess the brain is able to get rid of that instinct if it realizes it's a life or death situation. As I continued to saw through my arm, I was strangely calm. All I was focused on was this one thing. The pain, the fear, the cold, nothing was distracting me from this task. Until I hit the nerve. If the pain that I had felt from being stuck was bad, the pain I felt from cutting through the muscle was awful. Then the pain of cutting through the nerve was worse than anything I could even compare it to. The only way I could even begin to describe it is that if you were getting a root canal, but the dentist was drilling directly into the nerve of your tooth with no Novocaine. Imagine that, but 1,000 times worse. And the pain is running up through your arm, through your entire body, and out your ears and eyes. That's maybe as bad as it was. Except I was doing it to myself, and I had no choice but to keep going. Blood was squirting out at this point. My brain felt like it was on fire from the pain of cutting my nerve, and now I had gotten to the bone. I didn't even think about the bone, or what it would look like. It was quite a visual, to see your own bone under your muscle and the layer of fat on top of it. I was honestly surprised at how white it was. I thought maybe because our teeth yellow with time, that I assumed the bones would maybe be similar. But no, it was pristine, aside from the blood and everything, of course. I tried using the serrated edge of my knife first, before I realized how painful that was to such little progress. While the nerve pain was the worst I'd ever...
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Felt. At least it only took a second to cut through it. The bone was something I needed to saw through, and just the thought of how long it would take made me vomit. There was one other option, though, and it was a lot faster. I gauged the trajectory I would need to break it. Thankfully, I had been wedged between the rock in such a way that I had a lot of space behind me and in front of me to use as my advantage. I took a deep breath and ran forward with all my might. I heard it before I felt it. I didn't even want to look. I knew that it would be gruesome. I pulled a bit without looking to try to tell if the bone was completely broken, but it was just more pain. I took a deep breath and looked, and my face fell. The bone was now fractured in a way that it had split into shards. The shards were poking through the skin right above my tourniquet, and it was slowly leaking blood. Dang. I'm screwed. I'm freaking screwed right now. I needed to stop this bleeding. The tourniquet was already so tight on my arm, I wasn't sure if I was able to get a second one higher, and the bone was poking out almost at my shoulder. Dang, dang, dang. Okay, think, Marcus. What could you do right now to not freaking die? Dang. Unfortunately, I realized that the only thing preventing me from bleeding out right now was the bone plugging the hole. If I tried to pull it out, it would start squirting blood and I'd surely pass out and inevitably die. The only option that I had now was to try to saw through the rest of the fracture and the flesh if I wanted to get out of this alive. Now I regret not taking the whiskey. Not seeing 127 hours and going on this stupid frickin' trip. I woke up warm, but not too warm. Not blinding hot sun in the desert warm, comfortable warm. My eyes adjusted to the incredibly bright white light, but not the sun, but fluorescent. As I came to, I heard the distant beeping of hospital machinery. I freaking made it. I don't know how, but somehow I actually made it. Where's Reggie and Clay? Where's Reggie and Clay? Was the first thing that I asked. I needed to know what exactly happened. Where was Clay? How did he get down there? Was Reggie all right? What happened to his leg? I'm so sorry, Marcus, but your friends did not make it. My stomach dropped. The doctor looked on half-heartedly, as if he had more important things to do than to some 20-year-old something kid who his friends died. You're a very brave man. Your story has made you something of a local celebrity. My face twisted in pure disgust. Celebrity. My friends are dead, and I had to cut off my own frickin' arm. But thank God I'm a local celebrity. Thank you so much, doctor. I'm always so frickin' happy to entertain. I screamed. It was then that I saw people in the doorway. My family was there. My mother was the first to run over crying. Honey, she said, choking tears back. We thought we lost you. We heard about Reggie and Clay. Her voice trailed off in between almost silent sobs. Thank God for that man. You would have died if he didn't find you. Mom, What are you talking about? What man? As the words left my lips, a figure came into view in the doorway. He was tall, and he needed to bend down to enter the room. All I could do was let out a scream as the stranger walked up to my bed, smiled with too many teeth, and said,
"I told you that you would need my help."
Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the scary story tonight. If you did, please subscribe, click on that bell, and give it a thumbs up, as it all truly helps. And like always, spread me like butter. Yeah. Have a good night, and stay spooky.